Some scriptures and, oh.
Yeah, I don't need to, do I? Maybe I do. But we're going to be sharing some stories, and it might feel like maybe it's a book report, but it's not a book report. It's another testimony of a Joshua kid, although he wasn't one of our Joshua kids. He was a Joshua kid. I don't know. A lot of you might have seen the movie Healing Hands by Dr. Ben Carson. And these are two other books, and we have the three books this morning as our book of the month. And these are very, very important books. This book here, Thinking Big, it's actually a book about doing your best. Dr. Carson talks about doing your best, and we're going to hear a little bit about him. That in this, the first book gives his testimony and how he became a doctor and what happened with his family in his childhood. And then it became a movie, so you can get it at Blockbuster or Redbox, Healing Hands. And then this next book talks about, I wouldn't be Ben Carson. I wouldn't be here unless it was for God. Now, movies don't both pull out all the Jesus stuff. They kind of touch it a little bit, but the books talk about it a whole lot more, his faith in God. And he says he wouldn't be where he's at except for the people, the others, that were behind him and supported him and ministered to him, and believed in him. And primarily, for his life, it was his mother. And he's going to give us, we're going to have a few glimpses of the movie in a little bit, but there were special people that he talks about in the book, and how they gave their very best. And if you read these books, you would see that this man truly is dedicated to giving his best. He so challenged me as a Christian, that I have not even come close to giving my best for God, because it's all about eternity and this man and the impact. And I'm so excited that I can hear the voice, the deep voice of Coach. Coach Perry and Diane are here this morning. And I said, oh, God is good, because he helped us so much working with Joshua kids, and he coached the children, and he moved away, but now he's back, and he looks like a pillar of health, because he went away not really very healthy. But the special people that have to back up the good things that God does, and we're going to see that Dr. Carson said, and these are his own words, God endowed me with abilities, but I would have never realized these gifts if others had not shared their time, their talents, and hadn't given their best. Before we show the first clip, the Lord woke me up this morning and gave me some scriptures that I just had to add on this morning, because they were vital to understanding about giving your best. It says in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, and you might want to look at these later, verse 5. It says that David had a covenant, and we're going to talk about the covenant. He took the stronghold of Zion, that is the city of David, and he dwelt there, built, and then he took the city of David, and the men, the Jebusites that lived there before that, said, you will not come into this city. This is such a strong city. You will never be able to get in. But they got in through the water ducts, and he took that, and that became his stronghold. And he dwelt there. And the Bible talks about us not just coming to know Jesus, but to dwell in our stronghold. Because there's another portion of Scripture that says when we are delivered from seven demons even, or demons filling us, it doesn't matter. Because if you leave that place empty and clean, seven more will come and fill it up. We have to dwell in the presence of God, dwell in the Word of God. And that's why I'm so enamored by this man, because as busy as he is, and you're going to see why, as busy as he is, he stays in the Word of God and makes that his priority. And then it goes on to say, one of his strong others that helped support him became, they repaired and they revived the city of Jerusalem. And David became greater and greater. And it talks about, we saw an emblem when we were away. We went away, of course, in the warmth. And a dear sister from the east had a place of her own that they offered for us to stay on in one of the Virgin Islands. Wasn't God good? And so we had a wonderful experience in the presence of the Lord. And one of the things that we saw that was such a confirmation on the wall was a step And ironically, it was for whiskey, but one step between good to great. Just one step. One step that we could possibly take for these children to make them good and become great is in the power of our hands. But before we even use this analogy with being the other person, that special person that would invest in a Joshua kids or a Joshua mom or dad and invest your life in them, first of all, God is speaking so loud and so clear that we have to invest in our own families. We have to believe in them and make the difference and the change in them, that we will take the stronghold of Zion. I will fight for it, and I will have others that will help me fight for it, and they will dwell in the stronghold of Zion in safety and in unity and the promise that they will make it to heaven. Another scripture says that David's mighty men strongly supported him in his kingdom. The next of the three mighty men said he stood in the midst of that plot and he defended it and he slew the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand cleaved to the sword. We have to be so determined in who we are and how big God is in our life. We have to cleave to his word. We hold on so tight to his word that our hands can't move. They're like this because I've held on to his word so much. I can't leave his word because today we will not make it. These children will not make it. Our own families are not making it because we are not dwelling in the stronghold of God. There is absolutely no other way. And in Chronicles chapter 12, verse 8, it says, the Gadites went over to David, to the stronghold in the wilderness, men of might, men trained for more war, who could handle a shield and the spear, whose faces were like the face of a lion, and who were swift as a gazelle on the mountain. We have to set our face like flint. This isn't a soft Christianity. This is a Christianity that says, I will give my best because my Father gave his best, and he expects nothing less than the best. And when I read some of the chapters in this book of the people who supported him to become the doctor that he became, oh my gosh, these people were not messing around. One lady, his nurse practitioner that was hung out with him, she would come in, a single mom of two children, would come in and 7 o'clock in the morning, stay there till 7 o'clock at night. And if Dr. Carson was still in surgery, she would stay there till 11 o'clock at night. That was normal because they were dedicated to the best. They knew that physically they were saving lives. And today we as God's children know that we are saving souls for all eternity. For all eternity. What a great, awesome responsibility that we have. Now I'd like to introduce to you Dr. Ben Carson. So Matt, if you could go ahead with the first clip.
Gentlemen, give Dr. Carson a moment, please. He'll be happy to answer all your questions as soon as he steps up to the podium.
I always said you can do anything anyone else can do.
Only you can do it better. It goes for you too, Mother. One more thing.
How blessed we are. He was 33 years old when he took the headship at Johns Hopkins Hospital. The youngest black person to hold a position like that in all the world. Because he was dedicated. You know, when people read the book of Dr. Carson, Healing, Gifted Hands, they said, you know, this isn't really a story about Dr. Carson. This is a story about his mother. And today, I want to tell a story about you as parents, as a mother, and as a father, as a grandparent, as a family member in the house of God. This is really a story about you because Ben Carson wouldn't have become the man he was unless his mother handed down a covenant We need to do our best. And he said in his book, one of the most important concepts of my life is to think big. Do your best so he can do the rest. And it's for our families first, and then we go beyond that, and then we go to the world, we go to the Joshua kids, we go to people all around us. We have to give our best. You know, I was reading in what's the book, that magazine? ESPN magazine came to the house. I don't know why we get it, he didn't order it, but that's okay. It came to the house, and I saw a picture of Albert Pujol. Okay, you guys know him. I guess a great baseball player. But he attracted my attention, so I read the article about him because his head was down, and he said, why so serious? He always gets that question asked to him. Why so serious? And, you know, they a lot of times when you're interviewed, like I said, they don't give the credit to God. They give the credit that he's a good man doing humanitarian things, which is okay. But this man was born and raised in the Dominican. And a lot of Haitians came over there just for work. To find work in the Dominican is tough, then you know that Haiti is really tough. And so he dedicates his money. He dedicates his life once a year. Him and his family go to the Dominican and to what they call something, it's like a shanty town. And they give out food and they give out medical things. They bring doctors and dentists in and take care of them. But he's dedicated to this. And they said, why so serious? And he said, I'm serious like this all the time. Because when I see a baby that was brought to me dead, that all she needed was a little Gatorade, or an older woman that's been laying on the floor and cries when he carries a mattress on its head. And she says, this is the first thing I've ever had anything new. Or when he sponsors a prom for children that have, or young adults that have Down syndrome, because they would never go to the prom. And he gets tons of volunteers, and they roll out the red carpet, and they cheer them and tell them how beautiful they look. We as God's people have so much in our hands. We have so much hope. We have so much love that God has said that in his word that he has deposited in us. We have eternity. When we turn on the TV and people are living in hopelessness in the most paradise of all paradises, Hawaii, that is on the brink of thinking of a tsunami would hit us, our world is in an uproar. And there is no peace unless we have the peace of Jesus Christ. The enemy is a liar and he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is doing a terrible job of it. He is doing a good job of it. And he's touched our own lives and our own families. But it talks about none of us can do this alone. We might not, sitting here, get the financial rewards or the accolades of men, or ever be on the cover of ESPN, but we can do something. We can make a difference in our world. And these are the reasons why we have to give our best. The story about individuals who give their best without reservation are really people like you. You have given your best. I don't know if Ivy and Randy are sitting here today. Are you here today? Stand up, would you?
Awesome.
Give them a big hand. They get on the bus on Saturdays by themselves, and they bring children in, and they bring children into their homes. They take them places. They take them to plays. They take them to museums. They have children with them all on the weekends, and when they're off, they have dedicated their life to children. They are some of the unsung heroes that are in our midst, and there are so many that are in our midst this morning. This morning, I want to talk about people who give their best for the kingdom of God. And there's three C's that I'm going to share. And the first one is people who live covenant. We live covenant. And I want to share before we go any further with covenant, the second clip here.
All right, class, hand your test back to your neighbor. All right. How many did you get right? Kathy?
25.
That's excellent, Kathy. Mark?
30.
Good for you, Mark. You got them all right. Benjamin? Benjamin? How many did you get right?
9.
9? Why, Benjamin, that's wonderful. I'm so proud of you.
Not nine, Miss Williamson. He got none. You'd think he'd get at least one right.
He got one right last time because he was trying to put down the wrong answer. Hey, Carson, we know you're the dumbest kid in the class, but did you hear what they said on Cronkite last night on the news? You're the dumbest kid in the world.
He hit him!
Danny, how could this have been an accident?
Well, it was almost an accident. Mom, I never would have hit him if I remembered I had the lock in my hand.
The boy had 5 stitches and his parents are very upset. I'm not sure how to discipline your son, Mrs. Carson.
I'll handle it.
I'm also very concerned about his grades. Have you seen his latest report card?
So what happened? You weren't getting grades like that in Boston.
Boston was easier. They didn't ask us to do much.
Well, I ain't asking you either. I'm telling you. You weren't meant to be a failure, Bennett. And you can control your temper. But and you can bring your grades up, too. I know you can.
I'm dumb, Mother.
No, you ain't. You a smart boy. Listen to me. Listen to me. You just ain't using that smartness. Now, if you keep getting grades like that, you're going to spend the rest of your life mopping floors in a factory. And that ain't the life I want for you. That ain't the life God wants for you either.
Yes, Mother.
Education can help children escape poverty. But I thank God that Ben Carson escaped not only poverty, but he escaped hell. And so our gospel message is not just a social gospel to cause children to be educated and to make a better life for themselves. And that's so much a part of it, because that's a part of the gospel. But it's mostly to know Jesus. And he is the only way to make it to heaven, because there are many people. The Bible says in Psalm 73, they're on slippery ground. They might prosper and they might be rich, but they're on slippery ground right now and they know it. They feel it because life comes at us hard. But we know Jesus and he has given us his best. Even when we get a bad grade card, I know there's people sitting out here that feel like I've got a bad grade card. Life has hit me. It's hurt me. It's things that are devastating in my life. And I couldn't possibly give to others. I'm hurting myself. But God has given us a covenant. He has given us his son. And it's a real covenant. He's a living God. And he wants to make a difference in our life. In this next clip that I'm going to show about Ben Carson, he understands. And you'll see why he understands his covenant.
Professor Burkett, I'm Mrs. Carson, your new cleaning woman.
Mrs. Carson?
Sir?
It's the kitchen floor.
What about it?
It sparkles.
Well, your last cleaning lady didn't do a very good job, but I do the best I can.
The last cleaning lady was me. My late wife was very sick. I took care of her and not much else.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Sir? Did you read all these books?
Most of them. Why?
Just curious.
Take Rusty and Wren off the post. They can stay with Corporal Dolan's family at Salt River until Barker's gone.
Yes, sir.
Come to think of it, you better stay there yourself.
Yes, sir.
Hey, what'd you
What's going on? I was watching that.
You boys watch too much television.
Not more than anybody else.
Don't worry about everybody else. This whole world is full of everybody else. From now on, you're going to pick two pre-selected programs per week.
A week?
You're crazy. I mean, this is crazy.
And that's after you finish your homework.
What are we going to do with all our free time?
I'm glad you asked. You're going to go to the library and pick out two books. And at the end of the week, you're going to hand me a written report about what you read.
Two books?
I don't believe what you're saying. You cannot possibly survive it on television.
Well, you're going to start now. Why you waste all that time watching the TV? If you use that time to develop your God-given gifts, wouldn't be long before folks was watching you on TV.
The Carson family inherited a covenant. God gave him a covenant, both of them. His brother is now an engineer. But they took serious with their mother. Their mother meant it. And she stuck with it. And they started reading books, and he became so educated, and the two choices on TV that they picked were Jeopardy, so that they could learn more. And it changed their life. But just like us, when we come into covenant, everything hasn't gone. There's some things that we still have to deal with. And Ben Carson still had a very, very bad temper, and there were some things that he needed to deal with. So if you are ready for this next clip, Matt.
Hey, B. What's this crap?
It's not a crap, all right?
Shut up. You like this? You call this music?
It's better than what you like. Hey, man, quit proving how stupid you are. You don't have to act so ignorant.
Go to hell, man.
What'd you say to me?
Get off!
Lord, you have to take this temper away from me. Please, please, just take it.
Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I'm sad to hear my voice.
You know, I truly believe that the reason why we're here is because Jesus is our all in all. He is our all in all. And Ben Carson wouldn't be today where he's at unless miraculously God spared that young man's life. The gifts that were deposited in him, there were enough people around him to spur him on and to pull those gifts out. And as a result, he's saving many people's lives. And now that his books are going out, as a matter of fact, where I got these last two books were on one of the Virgin Islands when we were gone at Christmas. And they were in a little Christian bookstore. He's all around the world making an effect on people's lives. But it wouldn't happen that way. Our salvation is so powerful. It is so real, and it can change us. But it has to be our decision. Ben Carson started putting scripture in his mind in Proverbs about his hot temper. And as a result of that, he meditated on those scriptures over and over, and he got the victory. And he has said in his book as well that he has totally, that was completely gone. He has never had a temper like that ever since then. Because God is our deliverer. When we were gone, this last time, we met a few people. We were going through a tour, and there was an elderly gentleman sitting there. And he explained some of the furniture and the different things and what era it came from. And then I asked him, do you know Jesus? And he said, I went to a Presbyterian church, and I was going to be a Presbyterian minister, but now I'm a devout atheist. I don't believe in God. And we went on to tell him, but he's real to me. He lives inside our life. He's changed our life. And I know him. Whether you believe in him or not, he is still real. And he just said, well, I'm happy for you. And leaving that same tour, we ran into a young woman and asked her if she knew Jesus and told her about a church that was here locally. And she said, I came here from New York City. My dad's a pastor. And she kind of just told us with her looks, I don't want anything to do with it. Because sometime, I don't have enough time to tell you some of the stories and what his mother went through and how she married at the age of 13 years old, her husband, and then found out later that he was already married to another woman. And he just called her his China doll to show her off. Didn't want her to have children, but she needed them desperately and finally talked her into it. But the hard life that she had as a result, coming into foster homes and foster homes and foster homes, our Joshua kids are a picture of his mother growing up, almost every one of them. The things that they go through. And one of the things that he said is that, I don't know if I could emotionally been able handle, not the covenant, he had the covenant down with God, but the competence, the second C. I don't know if I could have been competent in school because emotionally after his father left, his father, he adored his father, but he left the family and left them on their own, and she was determined not to go on welfare, so she worked two jobs and raised her boys herself. And if you read the stories of what she went through, it was to make a difference in their life. And one of the other things that we met a young man on the beach, and he was selling his wares, and we talked with him and asked him about, do you know Jesus? And he said, you know, God loves everybody. He was one of those rosters, you know, that wear the long dreadlocks and, you know, all the coloring and different stuff. And he says, God loves us all. We're all children of God. And I said, yeah, God does love us all, but sin separated us from God. And we went on and on, back and forth. He goes, you know, we could go on about this all day long. Wars were fought over this topic. And I said, well, let me just tell you one thing, Isaiah. He told me his mother gave him, his birth name was Mark. But he said, these guys, his friends, he was a white dude. Most of his friends were black dudes. He said, these guys said, I'm a prophet. And my name now is Isaiah. He said, so don't call me Mark. But he said, I was kicked out of my house by my mother when I was 13 years old, and I've lived on my own since. And he said, when I make money selling my jewelry, I'll go. I don't take drugs. He said, I drink and I smoke, but I don't take drugs. And I'll go back to those places and those drug houses, and I'll give them food. He said, where are the Christians doing that? He said, are Christians doing that? And I said, I know religion stinks, and I know obviously that you have a bad taste in your mouth. I said, but Jesus loves you. A relationship is not a religion. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you, Isaiah. But we got to talk some more, and then I gave him my little Bible. And then, miraculously, on the other side of the island, we ran into him again. And he said, I've been reading my Bible. I've been reading. And he said, but I want the whole, it was a New Testament, I want the whole Bible. I want the whole Bible. And we tried to find him again, and we couldn't find the bookstore even there to give him a Bible. But we left him in good hands with somebody else that's going to try to track him down. People are hungry for God. They are hungry for a reality that is true, and people who are true, who will not push Jesus down their throat, but show them how much God loves them. And you know what? I have about 20 pages to go, and I can't do it. No, not 20. But we need to go right now. What I'm asking us today, just make a dedication, a serious dedication to your own family, to do your best for God and to be real. And then after that, we will have so much joy and so much peace that we'll be able to give it to other people. And until we do, we could probably give $25 a month, couldn't we? Until we get our strong healing from God's word. God has gave his best for us. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, and he has given us a hope of all eternity. How could we not choose today to give our best to him, like so many of you already have? So we need you to sponsor a child, adopt a child. We need you to get on the bus. We need you to be a vital part of children's lives. When you get healed, heal somebody else. If you're standing in that place today where you need healing, I know that my husband will end with this and then probably Troy some more. Hallelujah.
How many know that Jesus is all the world to me? Do you believe that? When Ashley sang that song, I don't know that I've ever heard it sung more angelic in my entire life. And you noticed when Ben had committed that act of violence, grabbed his Bible, and he sang this song. We're asking you today to soften your heart and make a difference. When T and I talked about this message, we said, we've got to recognize that our own children are at risk. Then the children in the city that are at risk. We've got to make a fresh commitment to making Jesus all the world to us. So, church on the North Coast, let's step up to the plate. Let's begin to carve off the things that don't really matter eternally. Let's roll our sleeves back up. The other day, I was really cute. I saw a young lady whose sleeves are like this. You know, it's kind of fashionable. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, that's how the church comes to church. But it's time to roll them back up again and get busy in the house of God and touch people's lives and change them. Young ladies like Antoinette, Tana, Victoria, so many of them. And we need your help. So on the way out today at the display table, you can pick up a child's picture. $25 a month, support them. But just don't throw money at them. Get involved with them. Be a part of their lives. Influence somebody with, yeah, you can do it. I'm behind you. I'm celebrating you because I believe in you. All of us need that, don't we? Don't we need to hear that? I'm at this stage in my life and I need to hear it. How much more a little 6, 7, 8-year-old child, they need to hear it. Sometime the only person that will ever tell them will be somebody that goes out of their way. Isn't that a great saying? I could preach on that right there. Go out of your way to tell somebody, I believe in you. Do this today with your children at home. Tell them. I don't care how old they are. Call them on the phone if they don't live with you anymore. Tell them, son, I just want you to know, I believe in you. Take them by the hand and look in their eyes and say, I believe in you. Because I know that you were created for great things. So tonight, today on the way out, would you please sponsor? Also, our tithe and offering is given on the way out here at this church. We're not emphasizing the offering, and we don't make any announcements. We want to minister to the people, give all the time for the word. So all you tithers, thank you. And all of you that have not yet got the vision for tithing, how is it that you can justify spending what belongs to God? You can write your check to CNC and give it on the way out today. Is Ashley back there? Would you one more time sing that?
Jesus is love.
Just worship him. Come on, close your eye. Lift your hands. Bless him this morning.
He is my strength from day to day. cheer me so. 'Cause when I am sad,
today we thank you that your hand of guidance is upon us. We bless you today. We know, Lord, that we've been assembled as the body of Christ here in this region strategically and purposely. There's not one person that's in this room today, Lord, that you have not called by name on purpose for a reason. You've plucked them from the fire so that they might go and rescue those who are in the fire themselves. So, Lord, we take the commission, the great commission, seriously this morning. We thank you for the burden that was placed upon our heart to rescue a hopeless world, a desperate world, a violent world, with the love of Jesus to go and to declare that Jesus is the reason. Jesus can give you hope. He can give you a purpose. He can give you an assignment that is eternal. We thank you this morning. We give you praise. Hey, if you need prayer this morning, our elders are going to come forward, and our altar ministry team is going to come forward as we conclude. If you need prayer, we want to pray with you. But before we go, church, when I was a part of the Joshua Kids ministry for so long, and you know, when I first came into the ministry, that's pretty much where I started. Me and Coach, we would get on the bus. Isn't it good to see Coach here, guys? So, like, I don't want him to go back, man. I think I'm taking you home. I'm gonna lock you in the basement. You're just gonna stay here with us. But we get on the bus, and I remember this one little girl. Her name was Angelique. Just a little girl. Right about the age of my little girl now, who's 5 years old. And she was so desperate for attention that I watched her one day. She crawled up into the seat. The other kids were getting attention on the bus and she wasn't getting any. And I watched this little girl crawl up on the seat when no one was looking. And she took her fist and she balled it up like this. And she punched herself repeatedly in the nose. And then, remember that? And her nose started to bleed. And by the time I got to her, she was bleeding. And I said, and I grabbed her and I pulled her. What's the matter, baby? Nothing. I just hurt myself. And she was so starved for attention. I don't know where she's at today. I don't know what. Somebody told me she's had some children and she's doing. But their children, you know, Joshua Kids, we are making a difference. I believe we are the church placed here to do that. Mo, where's Mo at? Mo, where are you? Stand up, Mo. How many know Mo? How many got love for Mo in the house? Mo is a young man that grew up in the Joshua Kids ministry, but you wouldn't know it. You talk to Mo today, there's not a trace of that stuff on him. He came out of that stuff. That's not on him anymore. That's what, you look at Tana. You look at Tana. She got a double portion of that girl. Tana, that Joshua Kids, that poverty's not on them. You look at Antoinette. Poverty's not on Antoinette. That stuff came off of her. The word of God worked. The investment of the church worked on these guys. It is working. And it'll work for those who are out there. You know, those Joshua kids that we seen in the paper. Let's just pray for them right now. Come on, stand on your feet, church. Let's go to war for our Joshua kids that are out there right now. Father, we call out every Joshua kid in every project, every ghetto, every low-income housing. We just call their name out before you right now. We say, rescue them. Deliver them. God, take your hand of protection, your mercy, your grace, and may it rest upon them. God, we just pray that they would find their way into your purpose, into your plan. We speak to their tomorrow. We declare their tomorrow to be full of hope, full of purpose, full of the love of Jesus, full of the life of Jesus. We declare that you plucked them out of the fire on purpose, for a reason, to lead a generation, the greatest generation ever known to man, to lead them to the glory of God, to rescue them by the strong arm of the Lord. We call them out. We rebuke poverty. We rebuke poverty today in Jesus' name. We declare that the strong arm of God reaches down and saves to the uttermost. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. We also pray for Brittany and Jessica right now, who are fighting for their very lives across the nation. We call their name before the throne room of heaven. We declare the virtue of Jesus Christ to be upon them, that by your stripes they are healed, that the word of God does not return void. We touch and agree as the force of righteousness on the earth, the church of the living God. We pray for them now and declare they are healed and they will live and not die in Jesus' name. Amen. Say amen, church, if you believe it. We want to say happy birthday to Elder Jim Johnson today. Happy birthday. 87 strong years old, Elder Jim Johnson. Thank you to Patty Starman. She did a great job with all the Joshua Kids stuff. Also, Joshua Kids stuff at the table. Just go to the table. You can be a part of Joshua Kids. Sponsor a kid. March 6th, we're having a Joshua Kid party. You can go get a kid and bring him, or you can just come and be a part of it. March 6th at 11 o'clock. Just come up here. Be in the gym. We bring him in, and then we love him. And then we just pour grace, and we shower hope upon him. Join us for that day. Also, what else? Hope for Haiti. A big, look, don't leave yet. Hope for Haiti. There's going to be a big tractor trailer. They're going to park just outside the